Welcome to Mixed Bag Holding, everybody.
I killed the men. I killed the women.
You got it wrong.
Really?
I did it.
Well, I killed the men, of course.
Yeah, it's like. Yeah.
That was the given.
Yeah, he says, I killed.
I didn't just kill the men.
I killed the women and the children, too.
And then she's like, I love you, Anakin.
Yeah, and she's like, this is awesome, actually.
You can do no wrong, bud.
So we've decided to watch Attack of the Clones against.
In preparation. Because right. The third one is coming out to theater.
Revenge of the Sith is indeed coming back to theaters.
Very funny finally. That they just skipped the Attack of the Clones. Re-release for theaters, I think.
Are you sure
we watched the movie and I think we know why, right?
Okay, I actually do need to start with a mea culpa. I believe we referenced this on the podcast, mm-hmm. and I had been joking about how, like, I was at a Magic the Gathering night and I brought the room to silence by saying, Attack of the Clones is actually a pretty good action movie. And there was, like, the most polite, awkward silence. And at the time, I was like, oh, how weird. And then I rewatched it this morning. And actually, it's not a pretty good action movie. It's a fine movie with good action sequences and settings. And
I will say.
Set dressing and clothing.
Yeah.
As I was watching it, I was like, I kind of wanted to ask you why you thought it was good.
Yeah. No. So that's why I had to start off with a mea culpa, because I think that I was expecting something so terrible that then it's really that they just really won me over with that intro. Scene.
The intro is great.
The
intro
chase
tight.
Scene and the cars in that cool city.
Mm-hmm. I was chasing like, Zam. Yeah.
This is cool. So I think I was like really on board. And then I think like that Colosseum battle at the end was sick. So I think that I remembered the bookends and not the books.
Yeah, right.
So
you gave it a general grade of three.
Much like Phantom Menace, this was an excruciating watch. But I will say I'm actually not sure which movie I like more. This definitely has higher highs and lower lows.
Yeah.
But in this movie's defense, I think I do know why you had kind of a generous read of it the first time you watched it.
Yeah.
Because A, it starts off pretty good. The dialogue is pretty bad of Anakin and Obi-Wan in the elevator. But it's fine.
No, I like their banter. They've got some fun banter.
I think that like they make him such a teenager, but he doesn't. They make him behave like a teenager, but he's supposed to be a Jedi and he looks like he's 29.
They don't know what to do with him. Because sometimes he's a heartthrob, sometimes he's a tween.
Yeah, but I think that if you go to like a high school in America in 2002, like everyone looks like they're 30 for some reason. It is
really?
Just like how people are dressing. Like nobody's figured out skincare yet.
Okay.
All the pictures are bad. Like the photography is just like the quality's not there.
Do we know what age like George Lucas intended for him to be?
Because he's got to be like 17.
I think he's like a teenager.
If he's trying to write a 17-year-old, then actually the dialogue makes a lot more sense than I give it credit for.
Yeah, maybe.
Okay. So Hayden Christensen was 19 when they made it, but how old was he supposed to be?
I think about that age, maybe like 16 or 17. No, I mean, he gets married, so I would think
like more of an adult.
But it's 10 years after he shows up during the pod race.
Okay, so he's like 19. So he's like 19, I think.
I mean, he looks like an adult because he's got that really manly little rat tail.
Oh, yeah.
It just really ages him up.
Well, you know what? The length of that rat tail, that's how you gauge a Jedi's age.
Exactly.
So that's why I was like, your rat tail's too long for how old you are.
Yeah, right. It's a long rat tail.
It's like rings on a tree.
Yeah. I believe he has to be 19 if it's 10 years later, because I believe Weird Al sang in The Saga Begins, though he's just 9 and she's 14, right? Am I right, Caldwell? Back me up here.
Or it sounds right.
Merv knows something that Caldwell doesn't.
Hold on.
Unless
about Weird Al. Come on now.
I'm deleting my wedding day from my memory so I can recall this. I'm recalling it.
But you guys danced to that song at your wedding. Don't delete that. No, it was either he's just 9 and she's 13, or he's just 9 and she's 14. I think it was 14. So I think she's 5 years older than him and he's maybe like 19. Anyway, point I was going to make was that it starts off pretty good. And then the last 25 minutes are actually pretty good.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Like, that was fun.
So it's like I started out with good momentum. And then probably when the story wasn't good, I was still just like, damn, they put something pretty outside every single window.
Yeah.
And then I like looked out the windows on the screen. And then by the end, I was like, ooh, this is fun again.
What frustrates me so much about the prequels is that there is good stuff in there, and there is like a good outline of something cool. And even you kind of see it, like, the worst thing about the movie by far, of course, is the Anakin Padme relationship.
Yeah.
Yes. But again, I also, Jake, more context. I knew that that was going to be unfulfilling. And so then I didn't go in.
So you just checked out during
Emily
that.
Emily, right.
I didn't check out. I didn't check out actually for that, because it was more like a chance to be like, huh, I wonder what doesn't work about that. And it's immediate. He walks in and he's like, I've been thinking about you for the last 10 years.
So, right. He's just like immediate sex pest.
She's so, so infatuated with all of his awful behavior. There's literally a scene where they're like on a beautiful, idyllic picnic lunch.
Oh,
and he's
talking
about like the benefits of fascism.
Yeah, he's like, just like, okay, what if we had a dictatorship? And she's like, here, flirting with me.
That scene was also really funny, because there were actually, I'm going to say it, too many waterfalls behind him. I laughed out loud, and I was like, this looks AI generated. Is this what AIs are trained on?
Yeah, the whole movie does kind of look like a computer desktop.
There are places with a lot of waterfalls. I think that was
a moment where I was like, actually, I don't think I need this in fantasy.
I think it was jarring because the sound design wasn't there. Like, it should have, everywhere around them, it should have just been like,
it should have been so fucking loud.
So fucking mad when I can't hear all the sounds.
What were you saying about destroying the Republic and nominating a dictator?
I think dictators are good.
What? I love you,
I can't hear you. There's literally 12 waterfalls behind us, all going in different directions. I don't even know how that's possible.
I don't know why we included every bird in the mix.
Yeah. But that was the worst part, right? So Anakin and Padme, so weird, so forced. They talk like the way people talk on like dating reality shows, where they're so deep, so fast, and nothing is left to subtext. And it's just needless.
A counter argument that wasn't the flaw is that I still think that is true to teenagers. That was a moment where I was like, oh, right, this kid's supposed to be a teenager. And therefore, this level of philosophical conversation is actually appropriate to their age.
If they're dating or something like that, maybe. But if you have a crush on someone, you don't go, you've grown more beautiful.
Yes. No. That was the stuff that didn't work. That's what I'm saying. If they had him come in and he's distracted because he's like thinking about stuff going on with his mom, and then the two of them accidentally fall in love, great love story.
Right. Give her a reason to love him besides him just being like very aggressive.
Yeah. Besides him being like, I actually already love you and I don't care how you've changed in the past 10 years.
It's like he wore her down.
I'm in love with who you were.
So in the last like half hour of the movie, not only was the action good, but they actually have a few moments with Padme and Anakin that kind of work.
When he's
like, they gave me my orders, I need to stay on Tatooine and protect you. And she's like, well, I'm going to Obi-Wan. Yeah. So if you want to protect him, you got to come with me. And there's like this little flirtatious moment.
And that's where, then you see some chemistry in there, which I'm sure George Lucas tried to edit
out. Yeah, so he's like, wait, no, you're a Jedi. Don't have any emotions
you're smiling
here, actually.
Too much. Smiling.
Yeah, at this part, you're supposed to be like more of a Jedi. So don't look at her, actually. Look at the ground. That's what the waterfall scene was for, bud. But no, they have an actual moment of chemistry there. And then the dialogue is terrible, but you get the idea of it right before they go out into the arena and they're going to be put to death. She says that she loves him. They confess their feelings to each other and then they kiss. That should have been their first fucking kiss.
I wrote that
not
down.
The fucking balcony of Naboo before for no reason. Right. Where he just kisses her after saying he doesn't like sand.
Like sand. Like, sand is too rough. It's too gritty. I like soft things. And he touches her back. It's like, Mason.
Up until this point, the only things that Padme has said to him has been like, stop looking at me like that.
Yeah,
and then they kiss. What the fuck?
Yeah. So, but I basically like, I knew.
She says you're making me uncomfortable.
I knew that it was like a flawed romance. So I was like going in being like, I know I'm not going to like this. Therefore, this is kind of like a fun macro perspective. And I can look back with hindsight, obviously, and be like, I wonder what didn't work about this for people.
But with Padme's taking off on the ship and is like, we're going to go to Obi-Wan, whether you want to or not.
Yeah.
It was giving Han Solo and Princess Leia. You know what I mean? It was so much fucking better than anything that happened at the beginning of the movie. And it's like, if they had not been getting along
Or if he had, like, I don't know, showed interest in her up top and then, like, squashed it down and then was being emo or something instead of, like, outwardly saying every single feeling he had.
Is it possible? Yeah. Oh, I actually do have a question. When you guys watch this, are you like, oh, this dude's going to be Darth Vader? Or do you find out during this movie?
We knew.
Wait, is this a spoiler that
you
I
know?
No,
I was like, wondering if you knew because you had been so sheltered from Star Wars. So I was only worried about spoiling that for you. It is known that is the
I'm
story
saying
of
it's
Darth
definitely
Vader.
Revealed because when he's talking about I killed the men, I killed the women.
Yeah, you get the Imperial March in there.
They have the Darth Vader song. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I wasn't sure, like, in the theaters, was that a moment that people were like, holy shit? Or when you were going in, were you guys all like, oh, I actually know
this? I mean, you know, they say his name is Anakin Skywalker in the original trilogy.
Yeah, you know that Luke's father is Darth Vader.
Okay, because that would have been a really cool moment if people didn't know.
Yeah.
I was kind of hoping.
It would have been.
I think we didn't mention it in our Phantom Menace review because I was kind of wondering if you didn't know.
I don't remember if I knew or not.
Yeah.
Emily, did you catch the moment when his silhouette looks like Darth Vader's helmet in Tatooine?
No, not at all.
Oh, wow.
For sure not. Oh. I did catch a moment, though, where he slaughtered men, women, and children and said that he hated them.
That's foreshadowing for when he does that later to other people.
Yeah.
Well, but so not because it's a villain's origin story, right? Yeah. Like out of curiosity, is it possible that they wrote him to be such a sex pest because it is a villain?
I mean,
villain
doesn't
origin
Darth Vader
story?
By the end of Star Wars have kind of like a redemption?
Yes,
arc?
Of course.
Like
yeah.
I feel like him killing this many people and having a redemption arc is almost too much.
Just wait until next movie, everybody.
Yeah. It was also a little strange too to like have him have this moment where he saves his mom or where he fails to save his mom, and that's supposed to be the moment where he becomes evil, but they have his like dictator stuff before that even happens.
Right.
Yeah, I know they're like laying it on pretty thick.
Guy. So it's almost like it's definitely not like, oh, life threw him in a different direction. Mm-hmm. It's almost like it feels like they're saying nature with him.
I don't mind some of that stuff with him being hot-headed and him being like, we need a strong figure to make decisions for us and things like that, because that is ultimately where he ends up, right? Yeah. So showing the seeds of that is fine. It's just the way that they do it is very bad. The dialogue is just insane.
I will say on a rewatch, I feel like the script is much more to blame than any of the actors.
Yes.
Oh, I think so for sure. Yeah.
I have no idea how you say those words and are okay.
Yeah.
Literally, he has Boba Fett say yep. It's so everything's just I know that sounds like such a nitpicky thing, but everything about this movie is just a little bit off.
When he goes to rescue his mom and he meets like his stepdad guy and that guy's son, and that guy just introduces his girlfriend.
Well, that's his aunt and uncle.
It's just an Easter egg, I guess.
Yeah, just girlfriend is such a weird thing to have in Star Wars.
Like, just wait, they're gonna get married.
Yeah.
I think that scene, you were saying that the low for you was Fantasy Tuscany, but I thought that the low for me was that scene when we went to someone else's house to then find out that the mom wasn't there.
Yeah.
And we had dinner.
Mm-hmm. Well,
we had tea out of a plastic 80s pitcher.
Yeah. The entire point of that scene is to like connect the narrative fiber from the original trilogy.
Yeah.
Because in that one, Luke has an aunt and an uncle named Owen and Beru.
Okay.
So they needed to be like, okay, well, like, how does he have an aunt and uncle? Oh, we need to explain that. We need to explain that in this movie. So they like
they actually did kind of have to button that up because it didn't make sense beforehand, because it's just because he's immaculately conceived.
Right.
So you are kind of just like, wait, where does he get siblings from?
It's so fucking weird they didn't just in the first movie in Phantom Menace be like, hey, this is my friend Owen. We've been friends since we were kids. And now I'm gonna
he's like a brother to me, actually.
Yeah.
No,
instead it's this weird thing where like Shmi is like sold to this guy and then becomes his wife.
Yeah.
So I actually thought that there was a really good moment of acting on Tatooine, and it came from Watto.
Wow.
You liked humbled Watto?
Really?
When Anakin surprises Watto by being Anakin, and you see Watto, the recognition dawn on
Little Annie? Little Annie? Wait, I thought you were gonna compliment the voice actor?
No.
But you're talking about the fucking bug's face?
Honestly, I actually think I'm... actively, the voice actor wasn't speaking during the moment I'm thinking
about. Wow. Right. Well, maybe it's the mocap person.
Yeah. Yeah. It could be that.
It's for sure.
There was just like a patience to that. The fact that they let that moment live, because I felt it. I felt
acting is timing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you have to imagine
animated bug.
It's not just what you say, but it's what you don't say.
There was like 12 meetings with George Lucas where they were looking at the clay maquettes to be like, okay, how do we show that Watto has been through some shit?
Yeah. How do flying mechanics age?
Yeah. Poorly.
In one of the greatest examples of George Lucas needing to be reined in, I don't know if you caught it, because everything needs to be fed to you and everything needs to be said in this movie, and nothing is left to like drawing your own conclusions or just like figuring it out. After he leaves his
half brother's house,
you see a shot of him going and talking to some Jawas, presumably to get directions to where the Tusken Raiders are.
Yeah,
there's a shot over music of him just like talking to some little Jawas in front of a sand crawler. And I was sitting there like, wait, we needed this to show how he finds them? Just talk to your fucking stepdad and go. Like, why do we fucking need this?
Because hey, remember Jawas?
Do you remember Jawas? So. I guess there's like, remember this?
So what were you said that there were highs and lows. What were some of the highs for you, Murph?
Like you were saying, I thought the action scenes were really fun. Yeah. I thought the chase with the flying cars was pretty
so
rad.
Cool. Mm-hmm.
I thought
also that penthouse that they originally met in was so sick.
I thought the
scene. Dude, I was thinking the same thing. Yes. I was like, I would live in this.
Yes.
I fucking love the wall-to-wall carpeting.
Oh my God. It was
I'm
great.
I'm sorry. I don't know if it really had a place in Star Wars, but it was so nice. It looked like the TWA hotel.
I will say, everywhere in Coruscant looks uncomfortable, though. Every fucking chair in all of Coruscant looks miserable
to
sit in.
But it looks rad.
Which is Coruscant? Is that where we started?
That's the skyscraper planet. Yeah.
Well, that's because they're on the go. They don't have time to sit. They have flying cars to get into.
You don't need to sit down. If you sit down on Coruscant, you're falling behind. Tell you what.
Yeah, it's a planet that never sleeps, man.
I really like the fact that like all the spaceships and little cars, like, you know, like our cars now are boxy, but I like that they're all like tubes.
Yeah, they look.
Yeah, they're tubular.
It's like cool retro futurism.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that part was all fun and cool. And then I thought the Jango Fett fight was fun.
Oh, yeah, that was fun.
I liked Obi-Wan Kenobi's big kicks.
Yes.
He does like multiple kicks.
He just jump kicks Jango Fett out of the air. Shit,
just,
dude.
It's like the last thing you expect as a bounty hunter. It's just like, this Jedi's just going to fucking kick me.
Yeah, much like episode one, there's just this section in the middle of the movie where you're like, oh my God, please. Like, my skin is crawling. I need to go do anything else.
Obi-Wan Kenobi goes on two factory tours in this movie.
I know.
Yeah, you're right.
As soon as he goes on the second factory tour, the movie actually gets pretty good, which I can say there's no point in episode one where you're like, great, we're safe now. There's no point in it. In episode two, you're like, okay, things are happening.
Yeah, right. It's picking up. All the Jedi are here. We're off to the races.
And that was like a real like wish fulfillment moment of when you're a kid and you're into Star Wars and you read like the expanded universe stuff and everything, and you learn about like Luke's Jedi Academy and stuff like that. You wanted to see dozens of Jedi with lightsabers all fighting at the same time. So that moment is very cool. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like that moment in the arena. We'd all been waiting for that.
There's no better moment than when a Jedi gets thrown a lightsaber and then they just blast it open.
Oh,
yeah. There's that moment in the beginning chase when I think Anakin like catches Obi-Wan's lightsaber that he drops and then hands it back to him. They're just like looking out for each other. It's great.
I like when lightsabers are worked into action sequences rather than we're all just sort of standing and swirling.
Got
around.
It. Yeah.
Right. There was a lot of standing and swirling.
I get what you're saying now with the lack of heft.
Mm-hmm.
What? What? Big moment for me.
She wins. I see what you're saying.
She wins.
Emily wins a little bit. I still really like the Darth Maul fight, and I would argue there is some heft in that fight. You see Darth Maul.
I thought
reacting.
Darth Maul was way better of a fight, though, than the lightsaber fight at the end of this
The
one.
Dooku fight?
Of course.
Yeah. Well,
the Dooku fight was pretty, oh my God, for it was sure. pretty bad, actually. There was a part where maybe they were just trying to be artistic, but I think they just didn't have the coverage to make it look good, so they just kept going back and forth between close-ups of their faces with light. swirling.
I kind of liked that scene though.
Okay, so then it was probably artistic, and yeah, I'm just not smart enough.
Because I think
to
like the thing
it.
That they're trying to capture with these lightsaber duels is they're like half about just like poise, yeah, and stance and like getting the edge on your opponent. So it is kind of a lot of like a tense standoff, and then you strike.
Do they have any Star Wars that like makes it more like, you know how Gerard does all of his fighting stances? Mm-hmm. Do they ever do that with Jedi's?
I think because
I think that could
definitely
be really
in the expanded universe.
I'm sure in
stuff.
KOTOR you can get like some different stances. Knights, yeah, of the Old Republic.
Okay.
I haven't played it though. Yeah. I will say, to go back to the Heft conversation,
yeah, please.
The Acolyte, which is the most recent Star Wars show, not a great show. I would say, okay, pretty middling, but okay, like the character, he wields that lightsaber with some fucking heft.
Okay. Hell cool, yeah. Cool.
It's a thick saber.
You know what?
It feels
you know
good
what I'll say it is?
It.
It's a lot like in pro wrestling, there's like a lot of debate over the styles and stuff of like this older kind of lumbering style, mm-hmm, and then like a newer style that is more acrobatic, mm-hmm, and I think, mm-hmm, a lot of people like sort of a mix of both where you're selling and you're pretending that you're hurt and that the moves have impact, and sometimes if all you're doing is flipping around and acting like, mm, nothing is doing damage,
right,
to you, mm-hmm, or
then you're just an acrobat,
then you're just, yeah, then you're just jumping around. So yeah, there is some of the lightsaber fights in the prequels, particularly it's going to get way worse in episode
really?
3. Well, because there's more Count Dooku and they do more CGI.
More of him.
They have more CGI of him flipping around.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no.
Why him?
I would agree. Well, at first I said, when he first came on the screen this time, I realized like I hadn't really registered who he was. So I was just like, Murph, what's different between him and Palpatine? Are they just both like scary old men?
Sort of.
But then when he started fighting, I was like, well, no, this isn't who I dream of seeing fight.
Yeah, I hate his little vibrator lightsaber. I hate the look of it.
So I like the lightsaber fight in this until, you know what? I'm actually kind of mixed on Yoda hopping around and doing flips.
Yeah.
I do agree that it's super cheesy and everything, but I remember being a teenager in the theater.
I lost
my
mind.
And people went wild.
Yeah.
It was the chicken jockey of the early aughts was Yoda going nuts.
I don't think that Yoda's fighting style bumped me, though. Because if anything, I was going to say that I thought that they've done a good job, and maybe this will be another controversial opinion. I thought that translating him for like a more modern audience,
sure,
I thought they did it pretty well. Because they could have made him really cheesy.
Sure. They could have given him the full Jar Jar.
Yeah, exactly.
I think that moment is really cheesy, and after it went on for a little bit I was like, okay, I think I've seen enough. But when he first pulls out that lightsaber, I kind of was transported back to when I was a kid, and I was like, this made me excited
when he does that little force pull to get into his hand.
Yeah,
I did a little fist bump.
It's fucking cool. Sorry. Yeah.
I'll say I liked that much more than when he's like giving the clone troopers directions. You mean like around the enemies, a perimeter create?
That wasn't the strongest.
Around
line, I don't
the
think.
Enemies, a perimeter create.
She's like, finally, I've been waiting for Yoda to issue battle commands to troopers.
Yeah, just I feel like there's a quicker way to say that.
Jake, I have a question. Were there any highs for you in this movie?
Definitely the skyscraper city.
Yeah, me too.
Just great vibes.
Yeah.
I thought that Ewan McGregor's look is like, when I saw that, I was like, this is what I want my look to be this year.
Ooh.
Wow.
Hair,
okay.
That's really funny because I think I remember you clocking Ewan McGregor when we watched the last one.
Yeah, he's my celebrity crush.
Yeah,
sure.
It's a good one.
Very few actually funny moments in it, but his reactions to Anakin a couple times are actually funny. Like when Anakin says that they're there to rescue him and they're all captured, and he's just like, great job. Whatever he says was actually made me laugh.
Yeah. Ewan is providing gold the entire movie.
Yeah.
And the way he parts his hair is incredible.
Any other highlights, Jake?
Just to go back to Ewan, actually. that if the direction from Lucas is like, you know, no affect for the Jedi, like he is actually so good at it that he's still an engaging character.
Yeah.
With no affect at all.
He's such a dry, straight man, but he makes it so fun.
You know what it is? It's like I think that you feel the humanity underneath, you feel him almost suppressing.
Yeah.
Right? So it's not like, it's not emptiness, it is intentional calm.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. You know what I will say for Anakin, though? He's the only character in the movie that actually moves the plot forward, because he's the only one that does stuff.
Yeah.
I actually think that I don't have the hugest problem with Anakin Skywalker, mm-hmm. and I think that if they had written him slightly differently, I think that it would have been way
more effective. They could have just cut like 50% of his dialogue and had him just kick rocks.
If he was just smoldering,
if he just smoldered,
unstoppable.
He said way too many troubling things for anyone to believe that Padme would love him.
I think that, you know what it is like, they almost treated it as a foregone conclusion that Padme would eventually fall for this hot Jedi. And I think that when you're watching it, you're like, no, actually.
No,
I don't buy it.
I don't buy it.
She's going to call an FBI watch list on this guy.
I feel like they could, because they had some of the stuff up top about him being afraid that something was happening to his mother.
Yeah.
I feel like that could have made it the crux of their connection.
Yeah, he had just too much going on.
Yeah, the fact that he was like.
Right, because it's like sympathetic. It shows some cool character from him.
Yeah.
It's also like so crazy when he was like, so gross, that scene where he was like, I keep having nightmares about my mom. I wish I was having dreams about Padme.
Oh yeah, confessing this to your boss essentially is very funny.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
No one talks like this
even a little bit.
Instead of having nightmares about my mom, I want to have wet dreams about my girlfriend.
What do you think, McGregor?
Dude, you're my intern. You can't talk like that.
Several times he calls Obi-Wan. He's like, the closest thing I had to a father. Just imagine being in an elevator with your dad and just being like, I haven't seen this girl in 10 years. I am in love with her.
Dad.
Imagine not being allowed to be in love and still telling your dad you're in love for no fucking reason.
I think it would have gone a long way if they just showed him, like, if they showed
him. Just look at her one time and just, like, look away bashfully.
Yeah.
Or even if they just showed, like, a little bit of wanting to be a good Jedi.
Yeah.
Just like an ounce of it.
Yeah. Well, this is the problem with the Jedi is, like, they will never send you to therapy, but they will talk about feelings a whole bunch.
They're all about wellness. The Jedi look so stupid.
The Jedi are
journaling over therapy.
Yeah.
I actually get why Dooku had to leave the Jedi, because they're so dumb. When they're all talking and they're just like, Count Dooku could not have done anything bad. It's not in his character. He used to be a Jedi. Just the idea that stops him from ever being bad.
By the way,
so confident.
Let's go down this road no further.
Just confidently incorrect.
Did anyone else think that Sifo Dyas was just going to be revealed to be Count Dooku?
That was so weird that Qui-Gon just has a different name.
No, it's not. I don't think it's
Qui-Gon. Who's Sifo Dyas?
It's a totally different guy.
Who is who?
It's a different guy.
I don't even know what names you're saying.
Wait, what?
He's just
Sifo Dyas?
Sifo Dyas.
Okay, let's. First off, I guess we have to say this to anyone who I think we've been less stringent about explaining the movie, because I bet you 99% of the people listening to this have already seen the movie, but they might not remember Sifo Dyas. So,
I don't remember, and I've watched it twice.
And I don't blame you. So when Obi-Wan gets to Kamino and learns that a Jedi ordered a clone army.
Is the ocean planet?
I thought that was pretty cool. Yeah. That was another example of a great window view.
So cool stuff. So the people there, the like aliens there, say Jedi Master Sifo Dyas ordered this. And you see Obi-Wan looks confused and is like, Sifo Dyas was killed recently or something like that. I don't remember. But he's like, Sifo Dyas is dead. And you know Qui-Gon as this sort of like rebellious Jedi master who doesn't listen to the council and everything.
Mm-hmm.
So, and the fact that he was just killed last movie, that I was like, I wonder if Sifo Dyas, I guess that's just another moniker for Qui-Gon, because this would be within his character. But no, Sifo Dyas, okay, I'm looking at this, was a Jedi master in the Star Wars universe, known for the precognitive abilities and his secret role in commissioning the Grand Army of the Republic before the Clone Wars.
A precog mage?
But they never describe that. So they just name drop this guy and then just have him be the one who did it.
He might have been in the books. I got into it with someone at a party recently. They were like wearing a bunch of Star Wars pins.
Yeah,
And it was after I had my real lukewarm reception to my take that this
Luke
movie
Skywalker
was a good,
yeah.
And I was like, I kind of like the prequels that I've seen so far. And then they were a huge Star Wars fan, which I should have realized from the pins. And then they spoke at length about all the novels that are about Star Wars. So maybe that was a reference to one of the novels.
I'm sure they go into Sif Adias in detail in novels and graphic novels and whatnot. I just think it's nuts to put something like this in your movie and not explain it.
Yeah.
When you can't even have a scene where a guy leaves and says, I'm going to get my mother, without showing him stopping and asking for directions. Like, they hold our hand on fucking everything for no reason. And then for this, they're like, Sif Adias, of course. We all know who that
is. I could have sworn that he was in The Phantom Menace, but I don't think he is. I think he's exclusively a Clone Wars, the animated series character, which did not come out at this point in time.
No.
So he's just a straight up reference to a name we never see.
Cool. Maybe they just didn't have the courage to do precog mages.
Why not just have Qui-Gon have done it? It's completely within his character.
I know.
He could have Qui-Gon the orders of the Jedi Council all the time.
Maybe it was already established.
By what?
By a novel.
The novels are not canon. They never were. It was always he let people do this stuff.
Well, I guess at this point in time, the novels would have been considered canon.
I know, but
it was, like, it was very
fucking
messy.
George Lucas, he could do whatever he wants.
Exactly.
Like, I have a question. Yeah.
Clearly, he did.
I have a question.
Yeah.
So I thought it was really interesting that Jango asked for one perfect clone, but I was trying to ask myself, would I do that? And then I was also asking myself, why just one?
I think he just wants to have, I guess he wanted to have a son.
But why just one? Why not just get two?
Why not have a whole family? Because he's a hardworking single dad, Emily.
Why not have twins?
Why not have twins?
Well, then they can entertain each other is the nice thing about twins.
True. Yeah, but guys, I mean, like, twins is a lot of work.
Yeah, there you go.
It's a lot of work.
Oh, that's why.
Yeah. And I don't know if his deal involved childcare at all.
Oh, okay. Mm. Actually, that makes a lot of sense. Okay.
He didn't seem like a super great dad.
Are you kidding me? No, he was like letting Boba help out in the ship.
Putting his son in a position where he has to shoot a priest.
Yeah, Boba got to fire the proton missiles.
Yeah, I guess so.
Come on, that's cool.
He was having a good time. Boba was into it. That is good bonding. That is, he's being a good
dad. I think
dad.
They were bonded. He was definitely upset when he had to hold his father's
hand. Bonded. But like, do you guys think that you would do that? Do you think you'd ask for one perfect genetic clone?
No. Answer.
I think I wouldn't. It really would unsettle me.
Well, I guess
have a son that is me.
It'd be unsettling, and also, like, I would probably want them to remove some of my flaws.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
it would be so frustrating dealing with myself.
Yes.
I would just be like, look, I know what you're going through, but you're going to get over it. You need to relax.
I mean, even with having a kid that is not a perfect replica of me, it's just like, stop doing the thing that I myself do.
Yeah.
It's tough.
Yeah. So I found that interesting, and also, like, I really,
it doesn't even make
unsettling.
Sense. As a bounty hunter, he's going out. What does he do about childcare? This doesn't make any sense. Career focused.
But you could tell, though, I got this sense that because the aliens, what were those aliens called?
Kaminoans.
The Kaminoans were like, in addition to his like extensive pay. So I think he was really getting taken care of.
Definitely.
Yeah.
There was a nightmare there for sure.
Yeah, Jack was rich.
Jack
had a great apartment.
Yeah.
Living rent free.
He had several jetpacks because the jetpack gets blasted off in the fight against Obi-Wan.
Yeah. Those were the sexy aliens, right? The ones that he was living with, the really tall,
the really long neck ones.
Yeah, you like the long neck with the hips that don't lie. Don't quit.
Yeah.
They were cute.
So Jake, for you, because you're like a little more outside of the Star Wars world, right?
Yeah.
Was this your first time seeing this, or had you seen it in theaters?
I think I had seen it, which is like, this was one of the lows for me.
Yeah.
It was almost like, I felt like I knew too much going into it, but still not enough. So I was like, I was more confused than I feel like I should have been. Cause I was like, wait, aren't these guys the bad guys?
Yeah.
Why is Jar Jar voting? Isn't this a bad thing? Or is it not? Who is who? So I got more confused because I was like, I already kind of know what happens.
Oh, knowing enough stuff that,
there was a lot going on.
Yeah.
I think that this one might be a little more confusing than the previous one.
Well, the scroll,
which I also barely got.
The scroll up top at the beginning is I can't imagine being like 10 years old and watching this movie and being like, what? They're doing a vote because separatists want to leave the Republic? What does that mean?
I will confess that.
Right. But isn't that good?
I don't think I've ever read any of the scrolling text at the top of a single Star Wars movie because I can't keep up.
It's too fast.
Yes, you can.
I'm a very slow reader. And the way that it moves is in a way that like makes my eyes kind of freak out.
Yeah. So Jake, you're telling me you didn't like that Jar Jar was integral in the dissolution of the Galactic Republic?
Wait, was that the implication?
Yeah, yeah. It was.
I thought that was a great use of Jar Jar because they didn't Jar Jar looked good.
They gave him like this velvet robe.
Yeah.
He was looking like
you're talking good. About him like a friend you haven't seen in a while that had a huge glow up.
I saw Jar Jar the other day.
Yeah.
Jar Jar looked good.
Did you guys see Jar Jar on C-SPAN?
Yeah. Tell me if you're getting Botox.
I feel like in the last movie he was wearing like linen, which is breathable, but a little less like I'm in politics. And now he's wearing that political velvet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's in his velour era. Yeah.
That's got to be, okay, new NADPOD drop just dropped, which is Jar Jar looks good in italics.
He's had some work done for sure.
I will say, okay, so again, higher highs, lower lows than Phantom Menace. I think this edges out Phantom Menace for me because in the action scenes, mm-hmm. the comic relief character is C-3PO, who is actually fucking funny.
Yeah.
And much funnier than like Jar Jar slipping around in
That it's C-3PO is like a universally funny and Jar Jar is child funny.
Sure.
Yeah.
That said, I could have done without the C-3PO in the factory sequence.
I didn't need it.
I thought he couldn't disagree more.
I thought he was funny, but I definitely did feel like
Murph is still laughing about it.
I had a chuckle.
Chuckle. Okay.
I chuckled out loud. When his head got put on that other robot, I chuckled.
Murph did say, it's just like he can write funny characters. Why doesn't he do it more?
Yeah. That's what I said that out loud. I was like, C-3PO is fucking funny.
I was like, I don't think I come to Star Wars for comedy.
No, but it is funny. Han Solo is funny. C-3PO is funny.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I just feel like this stuff you're getting from C-3PO is just a worse version of what Ewan's bringing. Like, it's that kind of like dry, like, oh dear,
different.
I'm in a predicament. Like,
way
and then
different.
C-3PO is just like doubling down on it. It's not doing it for me.
I kind of like the high status fish out of water.
Yeah.
I always get a kick out of that.
The moment that like R2-D2 has rocket launchers and just flies away, it's like, I'm out.
Oh, yeah. I was curious if that was that the first time we had seen that?
Yes.
Yeah, unless it happened in episode one. It definitely didn't happen in the original movies.
Right.
There's a scene in episode three where he like, we'll see it in theaters.
But wait, is this a spoiler?
Ah. I'll be so vague.
Abstract.
I'm gonna tread so carefully.
I have a really good memory, so I'm gonna remember whatever.
Yeah, for sure. I'll just keep it vague. I'll tread so carefully. There is an R2-D2 scene that made the crowd in whatever year this came out, 2006 or whatever it was, that made the crowd go wild, but I think it's not aged great.
Okay.
Is that the one where he says fuck?
Yeah, he goes, fuck this.
And then, and then does air humping.
Yeah.
He does a jerk off motion with this little robot.
Yeah, it's super offensive.
This is neither here nor there, but I do want to say that when I was writing notes on my phone, Anakin autocorrected to Anaheim and Padme autocorrected to Parmesan. So that's how
Anaheim Parmesan? Yeah. Should we go to an Italian restaurant in Anaheim? I'm hungry.
I don't hate that.
I'll go to a Ducks game. Fuck it.
Spoken the fates have.
Sometimes autocorrect, though, you're kind of like, what do you think?
What do you want me to do?
It's accurate in this case. I do want to go to Anaheim and have Parmesan.
Yeah, they got Italian restaurants at Disneyland. Yeah. Tell you what.
Do they have like a spaghetti dish at Oga's Cantina?
You know, I don't think so, actually.
That's a bummer.
Yeah, it's mostly pretty drink focused. I think this, what did you guys think? This versus Phantom Menace?
I do think that this one, because the highs were higher, I think that I came away with an overall like cooler experience from it.
I think that the beginning is really fun. There are some highlights in the Colosseum battle, but I think that the lightsaber battle At the end of Phantom Menace is still better.
Agreed.
It's still, all of the battles in this end very anticlimactically. Like Jango Fett just gets absolutely murked by Mace Windu, which is fair because Mace Windu is very strong in rules. But like, there's no rhythm to the battles here. Like Anakin loses his hand really quickly and it's like the music goes flat. There's like no crescendo for it.
Yeah.
I feel like.
Yeah, you're right. The losing the hand moment was really weird because it was like a little slice and it blasted him backwards. And I was like, we haven't seen any.
And then he forced through him.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. It was so that wasn't communicated to me, the viewer who hasn't read the
novels.
If you
knew who Sifo Dyas was, you know. My favorite fucking character, Sifo Dyas.
Fool, Anakin, I have mastered the ultimate combo. I can do three attacks at once without diminishing my ATB meter.
I think, though, like, I hadn't thought about, like, the endings or anything like that. I think that, like, the action just, like, stood out to me. Like, the Colosseum battle is really fun because you have Padme, Parmesan, shimmying up the pole, and that was, then...
How fucking sick is that scratch that she gets
on
her back?
Yeah.
I audibly gasped. I was like, oh my God.
Yeah.
That scene was cool.
Horrifying.
Wait, didn't you say, Caldwell, that they used miniatures for the Colosseum fight?
I was looking at some like behind the scenes footage and like, a lot of the Colosseums are like actual miniatures that they like filmed and then they superimposed.
It's full of fake bugs.
Well, yeah, they're putting CGI on top of it, but like the actual Colosseum set is real or it's like a miniature and then they like superimpose all the actors on it, which is cool.
I do think that this one, like, I think that because there was almost less reliance on CGI because we don't have a constant Jar Jar there, that like a lot of like the effects felt surer to me than the last one.
That's a good point.
Yeah. Yoda looked way too smooth.
Yeah, he does look a little smooth.
For me, the first one had so much kind of like, I don't know, it was almost like a joy injected throughout because you're seeing like the origins from so many people.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Even if they did it a little bit of a disservice, I was like, it's really interesting to see Darth Vader as a little boy. I was like moved by it.
Yeah, okay.
I think I like this one more ultimately because the last act was like action packed and pretty fun to watch.
Though I really did enjoy pod racing, I do think that the first one spends a little too long in Tatooine.
Yes.
And I found like some of the other fantasy landscapes that they chose more fun.
They're both pretty much slogs through the middle.
Yeah.
Such slogs.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like these movies could have just had like 40 pages of dialogue cut and just have people give looks every once in a while. Like, there's a point where after they bury Shmi, Anakin's mom, he like...
Wait, Shmi? When you guys have been saying Shmi, that's about his mom?
Yeah.
Shmi Skywalker.
Shmi Skywalker, yeah.
Shmi.
Her name's Shmi.
Shmi.
That's a really great name.
Yeah, but when he goes to the grave, he's like, I promise, I wasn't strong enough. I will get strong. I will never fail again. Like, just, you can just have a quiet moment. He can just look at the grave and look determined and you'll be like, uh-oh.
Watch his fist clench around his lightsaber.
Exactly, this dude snapped. Like, you'll get it.
The physical acting is there, though, because he like... clinches a pile of dirt and like watches it kind of fall through his hands. It's just there.
Show a close up of that.
Yeah. And that would be better because that's something that Padme could kind of like miss or misconstrue. Him being like, I will never let anyone I love die again. I will kill everyone. And she's like, oh, Anakin.
Well, I will use whatever dark magic I must.
I will say, saying I will never let anyone I love die again, I could see that being a turn on. It's just all the other stuff. Right?
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. No. Absolutely not a red flag.
I wrote down multiple times in my watch through, I want to see a remake of this. I want to see a full, like, top to bottom remake of these films because there's a beating heart of, like, purity to them that I think really works.
Yeah. I really feel that way. And it's probably why I kind of like them because it's like, I feel like the beating heart comes through to me.
They have the exact opposite problem of the sequels. And we may have discussed this in Phantom Menace where it's like movie to movie. Like if you go watch Force Awakens, it's a better movie. It's like more funny. The characters are better. The dialogue is better. But the world building and stuff in the prequels is better. It's more unique. They're actually trying to do something different.
Yeah.
Force Awakens, they just remade A New Hope. Mm-hmm. So it's like, I don't know, if the prequels had been made with that same outline, but with the writing of the sequels, and if the sequels had some fucking guts.
Right.
I think I really like fantasy sci-fi cities.
Yeah.
More so than like desolate landscapes.
Yes.
So I think that like whenever, I feel like there's more of those in the prequels than there are in the original ones.
From a like tourist perspective, this is a very fun movie because like we've never seen anything like Kamino in Star Wars, and it was like such a fun departure.
Kamino was cool.
Yeah, to see that like Coruscant's ultra clean lab with those fuckable fish people. Yeah, that was really great.
Oh yeah, dude.
Ultra fuckable. Only in a lab could you make something.
So we've already kind of done Roses and Thorns. We already kind of talked about it, but overall, it sounds like. So I just want to say, Caldwell, I do agree with you. I think the Darth Maul lightsaber fight is better than the Dooku lightsaber fight. I just think the extended like half an hour at the end of the movie, basically as soon as there's like the factory scene where Obi-Wan is kidnapped.
Yeah.
I think from then on, it's a good movie. And there's no stretch in episode one where I'm not annoyed. Like there's no stretch that lasts more than 10 minutes.
Yeah.
I want just, and I'm sure this already exists because Star Wars has spawned just in mind-boggling amount of properties, but I want the like noir cyberpunk in, or like the tech noir in that first city.
That's kind of Andor.
Yeah, that's the beginning of Andor.
Andor isn't like cyberpunky enough.
The first episode, I think it is, right? Because aren't they on Coruscant in the first episode? It's been a while since I've started
Andor?
It.
I think that's, no, it's not Coruscant. It's like a world controlled by the Empire.
But there is another like city.
Yeah, they're in Coruscant for a little bit of it.
Well, if so, then they've made Coruscant more realistic and less like it is in this movie.
Yeah,
and
we want
Attack
more
of the Clones,
Coruscant.
And I want the campy
Coruscant. For Coruscant.
So we've kind of set our likes and dislikes, but Caldwell had pulled up a quiz about episode two.
Okay, okay.
If we want to try our...
see how much we really enjoyed
how much did we? How much
I
did we take
feel
in?
As though when it comes to the lore, I have no clue what's going on. When it comes to like what was Padme wearing? Like what was outside each window? What did each window in each setting look like? I really was clocking that.
So I have not... previewed this quiz yet. It is the official StarWars.com quiz. I want to call out, it says right up at the top, thanks so much to Disney Visa card for sponsoring this post.
Whoa.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks
right
so
on.
Much.
So, yeah.
Thanks so much to the Disney Visa card.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so
for
much.
For more than Disney just Visa the quiz.
It really means
saved
a lot.
My life. okay, so the first question, what color is the speeder Anakin drives during the course?
Yellow.
I actually think I know this. You say yellow. I was going to say it's like a mustard yellow because do mustard yellow so well.
It's yellow gold.
Sci-fi yellow is very good.
All right, we're all playing on the
same team. I was looking for a speeder I liked.
I was just about to say we were all playing on the same team, but if Jake wants to jump this, we can do this.
Buzz.
Oh,
I'm Buzz. Oh,
what?
Buzz got okay. Buzzers?
I would have said I was taking a breath.
No, this is fine. Jake got the first one. Keep going, Gold.
You knew the answer, but I have my finger on the trigger.
You're on Zoom, dude. Okay, I will mute you. There's going to be a mutiny. Go ahead, Caldwell.
Also, we can't buzz. It's got to be some sort of Star Wars noise. Maybe you do like a little R2-D2 bleep bloop.
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
A lightsaber noise.
What clue does Obi-Wan trace back to Kamino?
Beep, 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 beep.
You got it?
It's the dart. The poison dart.
That's
the
right. It is a dart. It's a Kamino and dart.
Beep. I didn't know that one.
Well done.
I'll never get another question.
Yeah, that's right. Keep quick. Going, Caldwell.
Are there
going.
Any more about the set?
All right.
Beep, 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 beep.
That was question 2 of 15. So
okay, right, okay, excellent. Excellent. Yeah. Settle in.
Okay, so Murph's got one. Jake's got one.
Okay.
What does Padme talk to Anakin about while preparing to leave Coruscant? The answers are, where to stay on Naboo? Assassination
attempt.
Oh,
beep, beep, beep. It is where to stay on Naboo. Because she's like, you should listen to me about where to stay. This is my hometown.
Damn, that's true. Yeah.
I think
Yeah.
Is that the answer?
That is not the right answer.
Okay.
Whoa.
All right. Well, I scooped before you gave up.
Yeah,
what
are the other answers?
It automatically takes me to the next question.
Okay, great. So go to the next one. Next one. All right. Next one. This is slapdash.
Okay,
this is slapdash. We're doing
it. Put it together here.
We're doing it.
Kind of like the movie, kind of like the script.
Yeah.
This is slapdash. Okay. What is the name of the handmaiden Padme says goodbye to?
Oh, fuck.
This is a tough one.
No idea. Truly no idea.
Oh, right.
I'll read them out. Hold on.
It's Cadme.
Okay, Jake
incorrect.
Is eliminated. He's wrong.
Okay,
so what? Between me and Emily.
All right, now I'll read the answers.
Okay,
okay.
Jake is not allowed to answer. That's how it works.
Dorme, Sabe, Corde, Verse.
Dorme. Beep, beep.
Correct.
Yeah.
Wow, okay.
Okay.
Across the board.
I had no
fucking clue.
There is some synergy between Jango having Boba and Bobo.
Boba.
Mm-hmm. And
boba tea.
Yeah, that's why I was with my nieces and they love boba tea. So I was like, am I just implanting that memory?
It is very weird that movie came out like well before Americans knew what boba tea was.
And then there's some synergy also with Padma always having this lookalike that follows her. And I was like, that's a really good story. Like, I want to know about the friendship between her and her clone that's with her.
That would be way too human of a story.
Or is it perhaps like tense? Like, what does that even look but like?
Or maybe it's about how we treat clones as inhuman replacements.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, keep going.
Where does Jango Fett tell Obi-Wan he was recruited? The answers are Moons of Bogdan, Geonosis, Coruscant, Kamino.
I'll buzz.
Ding, ding.
Geonosis. Yeah.
Okay. I think Jake got it first. Yeah. Geonosis?
Yeah.
Incorrect.
Okay.
The answer was Moons of Bogdan.
Ooh, dude.
Fucking Jedi.
I wouldn't guess that.
Moons of Bogdan?
Have you never been to Bogdan, dude?
It does sound
It's a pretty good,
good
city.
Moons of Bogdan?
Who asked Padme to stay on as senator? Her family, Palpatine, C.O. Bibble, or the Queen?
Buzz.
Okay, Jake?
The Queen.
Oh, I was going to guess Palpatine.
It was the Queen. Correct.
Whoa, yeah. Wow, Jake's got two.
Fuck.
Keep Padme going, had Caldwell. Two terms as queens, and they tried to amend the rules to...
That's right. True. That is true.
Yeah. Wow, He's Jake right. is a real Star He's Wars
right. Star Wars guy.
Okay, what is the name of the boy Padme describes to Anakin?
Oh my God. All I was focused on was like how...
Yeah, go
all
start right, going right. through.
The answers are Keith, Luke, Janice, or Paolo.
Beep, beep.
Paolo.
Buzz.
Paolo.
Merc got it first. Paolo is correct.
I did it correctly, okay. Buzz.
Dark curly hair. Anakin is seething.
Yeah, he's so mad at this 10-year-old.
That was so intense.
Okay, I get it.
It also like wasn't,
I get it.
It wasn't like a cute seething. It was like red flag seething.
Yeah. She was just so being like, I used to have, I had a boyfriend when I was in fourth grade, just like him punching a wall.
I'll kill him too.
Could he float fruit for you? Could he float fruit? Didn't think so.
Could he give you the worst part of a pear?
That scene where she's having a single pear for dinner
just
is so
slicing,
funny.
Yeah, really with a fork sad. And a knife.
Slicing really the sad. Bottom.
Yeah, sure. Wait,
what's the score? Is Jake up by three?
No, I have two.
You have
no,
two
I
have to
yeah, two. Yeah, two. Two. I have one.
Okay, two
I
to one.
Have
oh, great.
One,
yeah,
though.
Emily just yelled I out Paolo.
No, but I got another one right.
You got another one right. Correct.
Yeah.
All right, and I want to remind you, it's not a buzz, it's a beep beep.
It's a beep beep.
Okay. Yeah.
Fuck.
How many in Klieg Lars's search group made it back from there? From their rescue mission.
What?
Okay. I know.
The numbers are.
Oh, wait. I think I have it. Beep, beep.
Okay. What do you think?
Four.
Correct.
Yes.
Wow.
Didn't even need it.
I wouldn't have known if it were multiple choice.
I hadn't even heard the name Clark Leavis or whatever the heck.
Lars. No, Klieg Lars. That's the stepdad.
Yeah.
All right.
The dad stepped
good
up.
Guys are in the lead. I could breathe a sigh of relief. Yeah. My reputation's on the line.
The dark side is coming.
It really is.
Your mind is clouded. Okay, these are kind of tough. Who, according to Lama Su, originally placed the order for the clone army?
Beep, beep.
Okay, you got
Sifo Dyas.
Yeah. Didn't we talk about this?
Sifo Dyas.
Correct.
Sifo
Dyas. Yes! Yeah. Okay, all right. Cool, cool.
Eagle-eared listeners will know Sifo Dyas. Okay. Oh, wow. All right, this is a good one. How far is Geonosis from Tatooine? The answers are less than a parsec, several light years, on the other side of the galaxy, 1 hour.
Beep, beep, what? Less than a parsec.
I'm less than a parsec is correct.
Yeah!
Wow.
Because
okay.
I remember her being like, no, we can get there. Look how close it is.
Yep, yep.
Okay, so is it 2, 3, and
no, I have 4.
Okay, sorry.
2, 4, 2.
2, 4, 2. All right, great.
Okay. Yeah. That's probably a cool area code.
Shout out.
2, 4, 2. Shout out
to the 2, 4, 2.
What creature injures Padme in the arena?
Oh, God.
Oh, I know. It's a huge ass looking cat.
You were going to.
Right,
yeah,
but what is the name of that huge ass looking cat?
All
right.
I got to hear the name.
Okay, so the answers are Nexu. Acklay, Reek, Mongwurst.
I can't even guess this.
Anyone want to guess?
I'll go. I'm going to let Murph guess because I'm going to hope that he gets it wrong. Yeah, so then it gets down to
three. Oh, no, okay. Fuck that. Just pick a random one, Caldwell. I'm not getting tricked by this.
Mongoose.
Mongwurst?
Mongwurst.
All right, we're guessing Mongwurst. Incorrect. It was Nexu.
I knew it. That okay. was
tossing
exactly.
that question out.
Yeah, fuck that one. That one doesn't count.
Ooh, okay. What lightsaber color is not seen in the arena battle?
Oh.
The answers,
beep, beep.
Okay.
Red.
What?
I think red was in there.
Red, not in the arena battle.
That's
oh,
not
the
one of the
arena battle.
Oh, it's not one
I
of
see.
Okay. Yeah. I'm out.
Okay. Yeah. So you're out, but read the thing.
Okay. Yes.
That is correct, by the way, but
technically correct. But the answers are blue, gold, green, and purple.
I'm going to say
fuck?
Beep beep.
Yes.
Gold.
Check gold.
Now I'm thinking
correct. That's actually correct.
Yes!
That's absolutely correct. Yes.
Okay. Nice.
But they could have made it tricky by saying red because mm-hmm. Dooku doesn't pull out his fucking lightsaber in that one.
That's true.
Move on.
Yeah, there are no Sith Lords Moving present on. In that battle.
Yeah.
Let's see. What does Dooku take with him during his escape? Interesting.
I was a little checked out at this point.
Yeah.
I found the Dooku lightsaber battle to be a low for me.
It was like past midnight right. when I was watching this. stolen lightsaber, Republic intelligence, separatist war plans.
Is Luke's hand an option?
No.
Oh, okay.
Luke has not been born yet. Death Star plans.
Beep.
Beep.
Yeah.
He takes Death Star plans.
Death Star plans is correct.
Woo!
There you go.
Okay.
All right, Murph, you at five?
Yeah,
five.
Murph is at
and
five.
M's got
I'm
three.
At three. Jake is at two.
Oh, wait, 5-2-3?
Five,
yeah.
Two, three.
Shit.
Okay, what? 5-2-3.
I got to come in second.
All right. this is the, there's two more questions left.
Okay.
Do we want to say each one's worth 2 points?
Oh, shit. Okay, two points each. All right.
All right, great. Okay. All right, this one's 2 points. What does Anakin do after his lightsaber was destroyed by Count Dooku? The answers are, he caught another one from Obi-Wan. Summons a lightsaber off the floor with the Force, gets his arm cut off, slices a hose on the floor.
Oh, beep, beep, slices a hose on the floor.
Correct!
Yeah. Whoa!
I got
five!
Neck tied.
I thought that was a high for the fight. I liked that moment.
Yeah, I like that too.
Yeah.
This is my problem with like modern Jedi fights is they're just flinging too much stuff.
Yeah.
It should be interacting with the environment.
This last
more.
Question should be worth three, so I have a chance to
to tie it. Not maybe completely anticlimactic.
All right, I like that, yeah.
All right,
final question. This is for three points. Losers have to buy the winner a replica lightsaber.
Great.
I feel like I've already won, though. The fact that I've gotten any answers right is like, this is never me. Mm-hmm. And when we do these trivia things.
I feel like the fact that this is close means I've already lost.
Yeah. And it should. It's
just
should.
Against me, against casuals. Come on.
Yeah.
I guess this really just speaks to the magic of the film.
Yeah.
I think for me,
it was accessible for everyone.
Making me feel really good about my short-term memory and even worse about my long-term memory.
So the final question, who witnesses Padme and Anakin's wedding?
I fucking beep first.
I think
Jake did beep first.
Okay, who is it?
Fuck. C-3PO and R2-D2.
That is correct.
Yeah. I didn't. Wow. That was that one we all said.
Yeah.
We all tried.
Yeah,
to
we all knew that.
We all knew that one.
Because it's a memorable moment. It's a it's a sad wedding, which is really intense. Like the air is bad.
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay, so now we all tied. 5-5-5.
Wait. I have one more detail for everybody. You got 12 of 15 correct. Your knowledge of clones, separatists, and Kaminoans is second to none. And you're always chosen to be a captain during Star Wars trivia games.
I am.
You are a clone captain.
Wow.
Cool.
There we are.
How do you feel, Murph? You got the same point total as me and Emily.
Yeah. I feel, you know what?
Equally good at Star Wars.
First off, you jumped us at first. I thought we were all on the same team. You got yellow car. I was technically right on the red lightsaber one. That would have been a better question. Your answers were worth more. This is bullshit.
5-5-5. My God.
We have like it's the area code from like TV and movies from like the 80s and 90s.
True. This is all about area codes ultimately.
It's a perfect area code to end on.
Ultimately, this is a perfect area code.
It's true.
Wow. Okay, well, I guess I'm a filthy casual.
Join us. And if we took this tomorrow, I wouldn't remember any of it.
Even the yellow car.
Yeah. No, I think I would remember because I was clocking all their gorgeous mustard yellows and mm-hmm. terracottas.
Yeah. Well, at the end of the day, we all just need to be thankful for the Disney Visa card.
We all need to be
thank you so much.
Thank you so much for existing, not personally in my wallet, but somewhere out there in the world.
Yeah. The collab we needed.
Just imagining looking at like a Mickey Mouse credit card and like stressing about your finances is so dark.
Time to pay your bills.
Yes, sir. Your Mickey Mouse was declined.
Yeah.
Sir, your Winnie the Pooh credit card.
No! So sad. Jesus.
Oh, that really hurts my heart.
Yeah. Wow. Okay, absolutely right. Brutal.
Hey, we'll see you next month.
Hey, and you know what we do? Let's do A to J.
Oh, yeah.
Because we do the 8-Bit Book Club thing. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say this was not nearly the worst thing we've seen. I know we beat up on this a little bit.
Mm-hmm. No, but I think
we had a lot of stuff we liked.
We came from a place of kind of like, this actually isn't as far from working as it should be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's an
E. An E for me. A Ewan McGregor.
Okay. Ooh. Yeah, I'll say it's kind of worse than an E for me, but I'll give it an E so I could say it's excruciating, but not as bad as other stuff we've watched.
Excruciating, and McGregor.
I know we ask this all the time, but Jay is good.
Oh, fuck. I don't remember.
Yeah, Jay's good.
Yeah, yeah. Jay is good. Jay has just got to have it.
Okay, then E. E fits. Okay. E fits. It's kind of in the middle there.
I might go for a G.
Okay.
Or an F.
Wow, that's really okay. High.
Because a G for, what was it? Giannis or something? One of the.
Giannis.
Giannis.
Something like that. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think like the wall to wall score, yeah. I, like there was something nostalgic about it that when I originally watched it, titillated me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Maybe I'll give actually. I am a pretty easy audience though.
Actually, maybe, yeah. F is probably more because for me, it's kind of middling. So I think I'll do F for funny like C3PO. Funny, but actually like C3PO.
Right.
I'll give it a C for could use some more Coruscant.
Wow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I am so completely persuaded by that Coruscant in the beginning.
Yeah. Honestly, yeah. Could use a full rewrite. Could use a full remake is where I'm at.
Just keep me in that Coruscant penthouse.
They really should. With things that were just like good ideas, they should just... Those are the movies that should get remade.
I know.
Why are we remaking good movies? You should remake good ideas that you fucked up.
Yeah.
Even like George R. R. Martin talks about how he had done something in one of the books that is preventing him from finishing Winds of Winter. It's just like, then release a different fucking book and retcon it. Like, yes, it's fine.
Yeah.
Who gives a shit?
Use the money that you made from Snow White. I know it wasn't a lot, but use that money to remake
Attack of the Clones. Yeah, and you can make more money on your old book by re-releasing it with like a different line that says that some character didn't die.
And here's the thing, we're fucking dumbasses. We're going to go to the movies and use our Disney Visa cards to see it.
We're gonna take overages on our Disney Visa card.
Yeah,
my Stitch card can't take it.
I took an aggressive loan on my Stitch Visa.
God, 15%. Jesus. Really wrong.
I didn't pay it off, and now I'm drowning in Stitch debt.
No overdraft fees.
Yeah, no character should be anywhere near a credit card.
Yeah, really shouldn't.
Just the idea of just like so upset, sweating, looking at Lilo and Stitch.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, we didn't even talk about it. There was a Sebulba species cameo in the diner, and that really tickled me.
Oh, really?
Yeah, okay, in the background.
Really?
No Sebulba.
Yeah.
I didn't see it.
Oh, Emily, you're so sad.
I know.
You've got to go rewind.
Is Sebulba still your favorite character? Keeping this whole pause. She's so thoughtful.
I don't know that anyone in this movie edged him out.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
All right. So
still number one.
I was still more attached to, though I think that this movie was better, there wasn't anyone that I was like, gotta know more about you.
Yeah.
How much would it cost for you to get a Sebulba credit card?
Now that one actually makes sense. Yeah. That one makes sense. Stressing out over Sebulba is not instinctually painful.
But just like paying for anything with your Sebulba credit card.
Well, you hand over the credit card with your feet.
Oh. So they know. They know from the jump what you're all about. Yeah.
What percentage of people would understand that joke? So low. You'd mostly just get asked to leave.
Two for Revenge of the Sith, please.
All right. And you have to make a sound when you hand them a Visa gift card in between your toes with Sebulba on it and say, get it? All right. And with that, we're going to go ahead and wrap this one up. Thank you all so much for listening. We'll be back next month with Revenge of the Sith.
That's right.
Wow. Excited. We're going to go see it in
theaters.
They
haven't technically announced the dates yet.
Well, April 25th, but they haven't announced ticket sales. Yes. So I don't know which theater it's going to be at, but I think we're in Los Angeles, so chances are good that it'll be here.
Yeah, we'll be able to get in. Okay. All right. But until then, we'll catch you all next time.
All right.